Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Psalms 3 this morning, and we better get to preaching before we get carnal. Psalms 3, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. The Bible said this in Psalms 3, and I read the entire psalm. We'll look at it this morning. The Bible said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Bible said in verse number 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings is upon thy people. Selah. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach on this thought. Look in verse number 1. The Bible said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on this thought for just a little while this morning. A good God in the midst of bad times. A good God in the midst of bad times. Father, I love you today. And Father, you know the need that we have for the service today. God, you know every person sitting here. God, I believe before the foundations of the world was ever even laid that you knew who would be here and what would be said today. God, I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here lost, God, that you'd save them today. I pray that if there's any here out of your will, that you bring them back close to you today. God, I pray, that, Lord, that you'd breathe on us for just a little while. God, bring back to our mind and our remembrance, God, the things that we've studied. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God today. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd move and work as only you can, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. When you come to Psalms, the third division, some says chapter 3 or Psalms 3, I think it's very important to understand the background of this psalm, to understand what is going on in this psalm. That David said that his enemies are increased. They trouble him. They're increased about him. And he even goes on to say, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. So what is David referring to here? What is the history of Psalms 3? Well, whenever you study it out, you'll find the history found in the book of 2 Samuel in chapter 15 through chapter number 17. Whenever you come to that portion of the Bible, you'll find out that David has a son by the name of Absalom. Matter of fact, if you was here last Sunday morning, you'll remember that I preached out of 2 Samuel chapter number 11 on the morning after. David ends up committing adultery and fornication with Bathsheba, and we know the story of that from last Sunday. Now we're in chapter 15 of 2 Samuel in the history of Psalms 3. And we'll find that Absalom, David's own son, has turned against David. And David has also turned the heart not only of Ahithophel, boy, I'm glad my mama didn't name me that, but of Ahithophel, but also of the majority of the nation of Israel has now turned against David. And David in chapter number 15, 13 begins to flee from Absalom and from Israel. Even though God, and I'll say more about this in just a minute, even though God had established David as king, even though God had put David on the throne, the world rose up against him and tried to dethrone him. We know the end of the story. David ends up back on the throne, but David here is in the midst of running from Absalom and the nation of Israel. If we could say it this way, we would say it like this. David is in the midst of bad times. David is facing some bad days in his life. I'm afraid that sometimes we get a wrong misunderstanding in our mind of serving Jesus. We get saved by the grace of God. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm glad to be saved this morning. Amen. But we get saved, and after we get saved, boy, we think that, I say it this way a lot, everything's going to be what? Hakuna Matata. No more worries for the rest of your days. We think everything's going to be wonderful. But the truth of the matter is this. Even though we're saved by the grace of God, there still will be bad days in our life. There will still be storms. There will still be troubles. And what are we going to do when those times come? David finds a good God in the midst of bad times. A good God in the midst of bad times. Watch this. Let me preach quick this morning. Number one, if you're taking notes, you see David's troubles multiplied in the first two verses. His troubles are multiplied. These first two verses set forth David's distress. He has been driven from his throne by his own son and his own trusted counselor, Ahithophel. Think about this. There's the increase of David's foes. What did he say in verse number one? How are they increased that trouble me? There is the increase of David's foes. The wave which threatened to overwhelm him is now growing like a snowball headed downhill. Matter of fact, David said this in 2 Samuel chapter number 15 and verse number 12. In the latter portion, he says this, "And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom." Trouble seem to come in bunches and often multiply quickly in our life. One moment David is king, the next moment he is literally running from his life or for his life like a criminal. Nearly all of Israel has deserted him, and the odds were overwhelmingly against him. There is the increase of David's foes. I don't know about you, but have you ever had those times where it just seemed like everything continued to pile up, one thing after another, after another? I'll never forget several years ago, Brother Kevin and Miss Nicole, and I'll never forget everything that they went through. Man, it seemed like one thing right after another, right after another. The Suburban fell on Brother Kevin out here in the parking lot, and Brother Brady, their 13-year-old son, went home to be with the Lord unexpectedly. Their house caught on fire. It was just one thing after another, after another. I began to pray, "Lord, help them." And I was praying anyway, but man, it just seemed that it was increasing. And that's the way it is in David's life. It seems that one thing goes wrong, and then another, and then another, and then another. Boy, that's the way it is sometimes in our Christian walk with the Lord. There's the increase of David's foes. His troubles is multiplied. I thought about this. There's the insurrection of David's friends. Look what he said again in verse number one. "Many are they that rise up against me." That insurrection is simply just a rebellion in David's own friends. Ahithophel, his trusted counselor, has rose up against him. Not only him, his own son has rose up against him. The troubles are multiplying, the increase of David's foes, the insurrection of David's friends. But I thought about this, the inference of David's foes. That word inference simply means using reason or evidence to derive or conclude something. They're trying to conclude that David is really the one that's wrong. Look what he said in verse number 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. They're saying that God can't even help this man. They're saying, you know what, if somebody tells you something enough, if you're not careful, you'll begin to even believe that. Are you with me this morning? David's troubles are multiplying on top of him. His foes may have claimed that there was no help in God. Oh, but hear me and hear me well this morning. There is always help in the Lord. So number one this morning, I see his troubles multiplied. Number two, I see his trust expressed. Verse number 3 and 4, note his trust expressed. Note what he says. Matter of fact, at the ending of verse number 2, there's this little word that we're introduced to. Do you see it? It's called Selah. Selah, Selah, depends on which person you're listening to read the Bible the way they say it. That little word right there, and you know this if you've studied your Bible much, it's 72 times, if I'm not mistaken, in the book of Psalms. That little word is a musician's term, is what it is. And we know that the Psalms are songs that they would sing then. And here's what it meant. It meant that you stopped and listened to the music for a round and then started again. And what it simply done, it was a time of stopping and thinking about what was just said. So David stops for a minute, and here's what David is thinking about. Lord, how are they increased that trouble be? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. David's thinking on that. And I'm going to tell you something. If I was to sit and think on that very long, I would become discouraged. I'd become depressed. Amen. I'd probably become despondent. Are you listening to me? David stops and he thinks about all of his troubles. You know what? If we was to start on the front row and we went right across all this front row and then to the second row and we went all through this building, I guarantee you there's a lot of troubles that's in this building this morning. Matter of fact, there's some troubles in this building that has been shared with me that I can't share with everybody else, from people going through physical things in this room this morning. And if we're not careful, we'll get centered in on our trouble. But aren't you glad the chapter did not end with verse number 2? Look at the trust that is expressed. David, after he thinks on all of this, here's what David says. Man, I'm trying to hurry, but I feel like preaching about 2 hours this morning. Listen to what David says. He said, when I think about all these troubles, and I think about what everybody else is saying about me, and time out just a minute. Let me chase one around. Somebody's always going to talk. Somebody's always going to say something about you. Me and my nephew Jeremiah was talking this week, and I said, man, I really don't care what they say. And I know that may sound wrong and arrogant and cocky, and I don't mean it that way. They're always going to talk about something, man. I'm going to be me. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to preach when God opens the door to preach. I'm going to pastor the church God's put me in. I'm going to love my family. I'm going to enjoy my time. I'm going to go mess with cows and horses if I want to. And I'm going to live my life and serve God. But if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up on what everybody's saying about us, and they're saying there's no hope for that person. There's nothing that can happen with that person. God won't even help that person. David's in trouble. And he says, when I think about all of that, here's what I come to the conclusion of. But thou. He said, but. Even though all of this is happening, but, man, y'all, I feel like preaching a while this morning, and we got to go eat hamburgers and jump in the river. He said, but thou, O Lord, oh yes, the I am that I am is what that is. And you've heard me preach that before. That capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's not a mispunctuation. That is the great I am. He said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Now think on that for a little while. David says, before we go any further, let's just take a minute and think about the trust that is expressed. David's trust, even though everything is going wrong, his trust and his confidence in God was never shaken. God was his shield. His foes had attacked his person. The word shield, though, when you study it, it means more than mere frontal protection. It was a protection that completely surrounded him. It was a protection from the trials without and the temptations within. God was his shield, but God was his glory. His foes wanted his crown. David's glory had been his crown, which was given to him by God. God protected David, especially from the evils of Saul, in order to put him on the throne. The throne or the crown was the precedent for future protection. God was his glory. You see, they may have tried to take something away from him, but he never got over what God gave him. God was his shield. God was his glory. God was his uplifter. Men had cast him down, but his help and strength was not in men. Matter of fact, he said this in 2 Samuel 22:49. It is God that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. What is David saying? David in 2 Samuel 22 has got past Absalom's rebellion. And here's what he is saying. Even though men tried to bring me down, God brought me up. God never forgot where I was at. God never forgot what he had established in my heart. And David is saying, even though troubles are multiplied, there's a trust that is expressed in God. God was not only his shield, his glory, his uplifter. God was his refuge. David had been driven from his place in Jerusalem, but not from his position in the Lord. David was outside the safety of the palace walls. However, he cried unto the Lord, and he heard him out of his. That's God's holy hill. He said this in Psalms 57:1. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. David knew, even though everything around him may be going wrong, there was still one that he could trust in and that he could run to, and he would always be there. Number one, there's the troubles multiplied. Number two, there's the trust expressed. It's 11:44. Stay with me. Number three, there's the thought controlled. Here's where we lose it the biggest part of the time. Okay, so I preached all morning to get right here practically. There's the thoughts that's controlled in David's mind. Our mind, and boy, I can add to the messages Brother David preached here a few weeks ago. Brother David Edwards on the mind. But I'm going to tell you something. Your mind will mess you up. Your mind will mess you up. Anybody ever had a bad day? Let's just be real about it. Anybody ever woke up and just wanted to throat punch everybody? You just didn't want to be around nobody. You say, you're a pastor. I know I'm a pastor. But I'm human too. I'm just being honest with you. Just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I promise you, if you got a wife and three daughters, they wake up on the wrong side of the bed every once in a while. Thank God for a goat lot that you can go to get peace and serenity. But stay with me just a minute. Stay with me here just a second. You ever just woke up in a bad mood? We do that sometimes. Matter of fact, this past Thursday was my birthday. 45 years old. We was talking about graduating a while ago. And Rodney and Miss Shannon was talking about the year they graduated. And Brother Aaron was standing there and he said, "That's the year I was born." I thought, man, I mean, that's way back in the 1900s. I woke up Thursday, and to be honest, Brother Brian, I just didn't want to be around nobody. Leslie said, "Well, let's do this or let's do that." And I said, "No, it's my birthday. I don't have to do nothing today." And I didn't much. And Thursday evening, Mom and Daddy stopped by the house and was talking to us. They had stayed up here this week at their place, and they stopped by the house and was talking to us. And Daddy said, "I don't see that farm." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, get in the truck and I'll take you over there." Brother Scotty's out of town this morning. He's usually always here. I took him over to Brother Scotty's, and we got the mule out, not the four-legged mule, the four-seater mule, okay? Y'all see my mom and daddy riding across that 300-acre farm on a mule? That'd have been pretty comical. But anyway, we got it out, and we rode back down into what they call the Mitchell Bottoms. I'm sure Brother Doug knows all about that area. And come back through, and we come back around another side there and stop. And that morning, we'd moved the cows down to another pasture, and we stopped up there, and we just overlooked it all. You could see the big rolling mountains and the sunset going down. And them cows out there. And that's just peaceful to me. You didn't hear no vehicles. That's it. And we just sat there a minute. You say, "What was you doing?" "We was just sitting there." "You don't do that everywhere. It kills my daddy." He's like, "Man, we need to go. John, I said, "Daddy, all you're going to do is go get in your car and go back to the cabin and sit in your recliner. Just chill out a minute. It's my birthday." We just sat there. He said, "Bridge, I was trying to get my mind right." We sat there and we looked at all of that. Boy, how peaceful it was. Just for a minute to shut the world out and just sit there. Our mind will mess us up. David is at a place where everything has gone wrong in his life. His own son has turned against him. Matter of fact, if you rewind to chapter 13, rewind to chapter 12, his sons died. Chapter 13, his sons raped his daughter. Chapter 13, his son kills his son. Chapter 14 and chapter 15 begins to roll into this rebellion of Absalom, his other son, that's killed Amnon, that raped Tamar, and his other son died. All of this, a whole other message in itself, could have quite possibly been prevented if David had been in the right place at the right time in chapter 11. That's another whole message. Here's the moral of the story. David's in bad shape. David's the king of Israel, church. The king of Israel. And he's running in fear for his life. And David gets to a place where it seems everybody has turned against him. But he never lost trust in the Lord. His thoughts is controlled. Look at verse number 5. I promise you, I'm trying to get done. "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves..." That's verse 6. "They have set themselves against me round about." Look in verse 5. "I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me." Everything has gone wrong in David's life, and he goes to sleep. I don't think this is a sleep of exhaustion. I think this is a sleep of peace. David lays down. on a dirt bed with a rock pillow in the middle of nowhere, running in fear of his life. And says, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll just go sleep. I thought kindly about a young man by the name of Daniel. Y'all remember him in the Bible? That got thrown into not a lion's den, but a den of lions. A lion's den's one thing. A den of lions is quite another thing. He got thrown into a den of lions, and God gave him lockjaw. See, it don't matter what the world throws at us, if our mind is right and it's stayed on Him. It stayed on Him. David, listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. He said, I laid me down and slept. I wait for the Lord to sustain me. The problem is this. When we get to these troubles in our life, and they're being multiplied, we look to everything else to sustain us. We look to everything else to sustain us. Do not take what I'm fixing to say the wrong way. One of the first things we'll do is pick up the phone, call the preacher. Hey, can you do a call them all? Yes, I'm going to do a call them all. And you know what? If something happens to me today, I'm probably not going to do it. Brother Matt's probably going to do one. Or that guy that y'all don't like to hear that I use every once in a while, that automated guy that I can just type the message in and him or her calls you. I like that one. I think it's funny because I get so many texts. Preacher, I hate that thing. Please don't use that thing. But anyway, we call everybody. We try to get everybody to our house. David didn't have nobody to call. David didn't have a phone to pick up. David didn't have a car to get into. David probably got on a mule or a horse. Maybe a chariot, but probably a mule or a horse. And he rode out in the middle of nowhere. And he said, God, I don't know what's going on right now, but I know you've put me here for this time. You give me the crown of Israel. And God, I need you. So God, I'm just going to trust you no matter what goes on in my life. No matter what comes my way, I choose to trust you. And Lord, I put it in your hands. David went to sleep. I thought about this verse. Come start playing softly. I thought about this verse, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me tell you the reason the world goes crazy is because they're not putting their faith in Christ Jesus. There's his troubles multiplied, his trust expressed, his thoughts controlled. Look at verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. There is a triumph that is expressed. There is a triumph that is expressed. Look in verse 7 again. I'm done. Arise, O Lord, save me, O God, for thou, what's the next word? Hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou, what? Hast broken the teeth of the young God. You know what that is? I went to the great Boomer Christian Academy back in the 1900s. And here's what I found out about that. That's past tense. Thou hast. It's already been done. You know what David was saying? David was saying this. I promise you, I'm trying my best to quit, but I don't want to miss God right here. David's saying this. I remember a day when I was a young man and a lion and a bear came out against me. And you give me the power, God, to overcome them. David's saying, hey, God, I remember a day when I was a young man and a giant named Goliath was mocking all of Israel. God, you give me the power to stand up against him and defeat him that day. David is saying this. I've seen God do enough in the past that I don't have to doubt God for the present. Can I just say that again? And I'm about to take my coat off and run a lap. David said, thou hast smitten mine enemies. David said, hey God, I've seen you do enough in the past that I don't have to doubt you in the present. The songwriter said it this way. There's no need to doubt him now, cause he'll make a way somehow. Amen. Safely this far, Jesus has brought me, and they just ain't no need to doubt him now. You know, you may have walked up in here today, and the troubles of this life have you pressed down so far that you don't even know if you can get up and walk out of here. Hear me and hear me well. I've seen God do it in the past, and God can do it today. There's the triumph that David expresses right here. Troubles is going to come, church. Thursday evening, we were standing over at Brother David and Miss Candy's, and my phone rung. I looked down, and it was Miss Nicole. I answered it. I said, hey, hon, how are you? She started crying. I thought, well, this ain't good. I said, Miss Nicole, I said, what's wrong? She said, preacher, they just found Daddy dead. I said, oh, my soul, what's going on? And she said, I don't know. She said, we're still on vacation. We're trying to get everything packed up to get back home. She said, Stephan, which is her brother, just called. And they found him dead. And I said, well, I promise you, I'm praying. And I said, are you home now? And she said, no, we're leaving to come home. And I said, well, I'll see you tomorrow. I said, you call me if you need anything. Boy, I thought, my goodness, trying to enjoy a little bit of time away. Everybody needs that. And get a phone call like that. The ride all the way back home, I began to think about that. Me and Olivia and Victoria got in the truck and we started back from Brother David and Miss Candy's. And I thought, man, how lonely that ride might be. How miserable that ride might be. God crawled up on my shoulder and he said, hey, have you forgot about me? Have you forgot about me? He said, she's saved. Knows the Lord. She's got me on that ride back home. And you know what? If we've got him, let me back up and rephrase that. If you're saved, you've got him. And let me just say it this way. If you ain't saved, you can have him. Because he stands with open arms ready to accept you. There's a triumph that we can have, but it'll never come in this world. It'll never come through a carnal mind. Said that mind was in Christ Jesus. We have to learn to put our trust in him. And we can be like David and lay our head down and say, you know what, God? Boy, I stood in a couple dark places this week with some families. I can't go into all of it right now. But you know what? I bowed my head on the front porch of a house and began to pray. Boy, the sweet presence of the Lord, Brother Aaron. It's just something about him. And when everything's going wrong, boy, I sure am glad, Brother Stan, that I can run up to him. I can lay my head on his shoulder. And he talks to me. I said, he talks to me, and I talk to him, and he just reassures me, I've got it all under control. It's not for you to understand. I got it all under control.